Hi, good evening. How are you, honey?
I am very good. How are you doing?
Terrific. Thanks for joining us. This is Sexendipity. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman.
And I'm Luann Hernandez.
And tonight we have a guest.
A very special guest.
Let him introduce himself.
Hi, my name is Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hi.
What else?
Tell us more.
Well, I guess I have a special connection. I am the brother of a gentleman that I'm sure you fans have heard a lot about. So I am Brett's brother.
Woo-hoo! We have family in the audience, in the studio.
Yeah, and I am a longtime listener, first time participant.
That is terrific. That's We're true. Very happy.
So yeah, I'm just thrilled to be on this show and thrilled to be in the infamous Skid Row studios talking to you two ladies.
It is so infamous and crazy out here. Jeremy is busy doing something. Show me your hands, both.
Above the table.
Yeah. No, but seriously, we're very pleased to have you.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about, you want to present our topic tonight?
Yes. Well, first, I do want to say we were on the Dark Mark show.
Yes.
And we failed to mention it last week.
Yes, and we are very sorry. We apologize, and we wanted to make sure that everybody knows that we were on the Dark Mark show, and it was a blast. We had a great experience. If you want to hear us talk about my breasts or, you know, Josie's, go ahead.
I almost lost an eye at one point, but it had nothing to do with that topic at all.
Yeah, no, or these breasts.
Or yes. There was a spank train, which I actually rather enjoyed.
It was rather playful and fun.
Yeah.
I think I really kicked the shit out of him. I don't think he expected
Did you have the weapon?
I did. You know, if you place it in my hand, what do you expect to happen?
Out of context, this is really incredible to hear.
Pun intended.
Exactly.
But
always.
Seriously, yes, always. On our show, always. But seriously, I mean, you give me the whip. I mean, what do you expect me to do with it?
I don't know what else you do with it.
Yes.
No. I mean, you have
and
to
I
use it.
I don't put it aside until I exhausted it.
I know. It was quite fun.
I know. Yeah. So tell me the topic tonight.
The topic tonight is a very personal topic as well.
Yes.
It's bad boys, which I unfortunately have a lot of experience with, as do many women, I believe.
Yeah.
So
the allure of the bad boy.
The allure of
the bad boy. So we'll talk about the bad girl, but it's much less common and
I'm a bad girl.
Intense. Well, yeah, you're so bad, baby. But yeah,
I know.
Hey, I knew what I was signing up for.
I know. But yeah, the bad girl has different, you know, aspects to it. But I want to really start and take this topic of the bad boy. Mm-hmm. Because it's something, you know, we all agree that is fascinating. And women find it just, they don't know what to do about it. Because it's, on one hand, just an experience. On the other, it drags them, in the, you know, through the mud and whatever. We're going to really dissect it and analyze it. But let's just start and say that the given is that nice guys are just much less thrilling. Is that not true?
Brian, I'll let you start since you seem to be a nice guy. Are you not that thrilling?
Don't let the argos go through. I am bad to the bone.
Of course.
No. Actually, I've never heard it put that way about the nice guys being not as thrilling. So I don't know if I have much to contribute on that point, but this is definitely something as a nice guy. I know that for a while for me, I kind of struggled with thinking that I had to be a bad boy to, you know, get the girl that I wanted.
Excited.
But yeah. You know, but I think over time, and I think we'll kind of come to talk about it as the show goes on, I think that I've learned that that's not true. You just, if you are a nice guy, be a nice guy and own it. And, you know, I think good things will come your way if you just own it and be confident with that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And women will appreciate it. What do you think, honey?
Do I think that nice guys are
less thrilling?
Well, you know, I find myself saying this is what it is. It's thrilling in a good way. Like the excitement that people confuse when they talk about bad boys is this constant, like, I don't know. Does he like me? I don't know. Is he going to come? Is he going to show
confusion.
Up? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's the anxiety that we confuse for excitement.
Okay.
Whereas, I mean, actually dating somebody who is a good person is also exciting. But there is this misconception that if you're not fighting for something or you're not trying to convince someone that you're worthy of them, or if, what is that Woody Allen statement? I wouldn't want to be a, oh no, it was in Annie Hall, but it was somebody way before. I wouldn't want to be a member of a club that wanted
wants to have me. Yeah, it's very true. It is very true. And Woody Allen is really, well, he's not a bad boy, but yeah.
Well, I don't, he's a weird.
He's a weird, different kind of boy, man, something. In any case, a lot of studies really analyze this whole idea of the bad boy compared to the nice guy. And one of the leading psychologists in this field, Daniel Nettle, said that there's a negative correlation between agreeableness and sexual experience or sexual partners.
What?
Yes.
Never.
The more, you know, agreeable you are, the less sex partners you have. And what do you think? Does that make sense? I mean, that if you're being...
The more friendly you are, basically, like the more easygoing you are, the less sexual partners you'll have.
Right.
As a male or as a female?
No, no. I'm talking about the man. The bad boy.
The bad boy.
Yeah. Because he was trying to make note of the fact that if you are a bad boy and you're not agreeable
and you're difficult.
And you're difficult.
You're disagreeable.
You're disagreeable and you're like an animal and you frighten people. And so you're like this untamed, you know, creature, then women will want to jump in bed with you. In you know, other words. Mm-hmm. Do you think it makes sense?
Oh, I think a lot of women do that. I think we think that if we have to fight for it, like anything that comes easy isn't worth it. You know, we kind of get this, like in that book, what was it? He's just not that into you.
Yeah,
that's the whole
movie.
Concept. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's the whole concept. And there's many movies and books that deal with that. Mm-hmm. And actually, another psychologist, Brian Kaufman, said, Scott Barry Kaufman said that he wrote an article for Psychology Today, a column that he writes. And the topic was, do assholes finish first? Now, that's an interesting thing, because to assume that a bad boy should always be an asshole, you know, not necessarily both go hand in hand. But,
don't they, though?
Well, I'll get to it why I think that they don't necessarily. I mean, it's very likely most of the time. But what he was trying to say is that, he actually related to a specific character that was really counting women as, how many can I get in bed? And I don't know their names. I don't give a fuck about their names. I don't give a fuck about what they deal with in their life, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I just want to get them in bed, and I want to get a variety of different women because I want to do check, check, check on different aspects of...
It's his fuck it list, right?
Yeah, well, sort of. Yeah, and I'll get to it. But what he was claiming, Kaufman was claiming, that the idea that you're less conscious of what you're doing makes you more impulsive and makes you less caring about what are the consequences. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what makes you more prone to attract different females and just different experiences, because you don't really care about what's going to happen afterwards. You don't care that you're going to have to keep a connection. You don't care about their emotions, their feelings, about the fact that they're going to show up and, I don't know, roast your bunny or something of that sort.
Yeah, and you know, I almost wonder if it's that maybe women sense that when they meet a bad boy, they're like, oh, okay, you know, it's maybe there's in their head, there's kind of more of this understanding that this really is going to be kind of a quicker thing, or you know, and you know, I wonder
unsatisfying in the long term.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. That's something I wonder.
No, I'm sure it is. I mean, I think there are moments when you meet a bad boy and you're like, this is just fun for a good fuck, right? And you're like,
and so you really kind of, you know, acknowledge it to begin with, and then you still go on with it. This is what
I think. That's, I mean, I think what it is that thought enters your mind.
Yeah, for like a brief moment.
For a brief moment,
and then you just push it away, and
then you're like,
oh, I'm like wet. So yeah. Let's go on with it.
Well, then it's like, that was an awful thing to think. how dare I just, like, you know, the
really?
Females.
You process
no, no,
it
no.
This
I
way?
Think I don't think it's a conscious process, but I think there is a lot of discomfort with women and just having sex and saying, I just want to, you know,
just have sex.
Just have sex. And it's okay. It's like we try to pretend that there could be more. I think our society, it's so ingrained in us at times that we're like, I can't just be so like
an animal.
Yes, animalistic, and just be like, yes, I just want to fuck this guy.
Like the chimps.
Yeah. There has to be something more.
I know,
let me try
I know.
To get something more
I
out
know.
Of this.
Because, yeah, and I want to go back to that point. But what do you think, Brian? Do you think women would approach a bad boy in that feeling that something can be bigger than that, than just the mere, you know, excitement or the physical, the blissful?
I think, and I hopefully I'm not kind of jumping ahead here, but I think the age of the woman has a lot to do with it. Because what I've kind of noticed in my experience is that I feel like when women are kind of in their late teens, early 20s, I feel like they're more likely to kind of fall for that bad boy and maybe, you know, think that something long-term can come out of it. But then I feel like as women get older, and I don't know what age that is, but once they, you know, maybe
57?
Approximately 60.
Yeah, but I feel like at some point, I feel like most women at some point, you know, maybe it's one or two or three or too many bad experiences, too many experiences with the bad boy that didn't work out the way they wanted, and they found themselves going like, oh, this isn't what I really want. And so, but I would like to imagine that, yeah, hopefully women get to a certain point when they kind of realize, you know, what kind of experience it's going to be, and that they don't go into those situations thinking that they can change this bad boy or that he can, it can be something more long term.
Okay, so we do we agree that most women would go into this experience hoping for something, or?
I mean, I think most women, unfortunately, do. I think that's...
Yeah, so they just claim, no, I just want to fuck, and he's
no,
attractive.
I think that that's in their head. I think that's the instinct. Like, it's like, there's this very sexy man. I really just want to fuck him. But then,
I can't admit it to myself.
Yes.
Because socially, it's not acceptable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, it makes sense. And Peter Jonathan from the University of Western Sydney said that there's something that really kind of creates that that possibility in terms of presenting the bad boy and what a woman finds appealing. And he said that a bad boy should have the dark triad traits.
Ooh.
Who, yes, yeah, it's really the like, dark triad traits. Yes, that he should really encompass, and listen to this, it should be a complex of narcissism, Machiavellianism, which is a fancy word for manipulativeness, and psychopathy, which I don't need to really kind of analyze. But yeah, so we said that these three are kind of the dark triad that will really kind of build the idea of the bad boy, and that women find it attractive to a point, meaning that if a man encompasses these traits, women will be drawn to him, like, you know, really, like, it's uncontrollable, and they'll just be drawn to have any sort of sexual engagement with him. But it has a point where these traits, if they're too intense, are going to be repellent to women. So what he was trying to say is that women find bad boys both very appealing and repelling. Mm-hmm. And there's a very specific point where the two kind of mix, and you know, women find themselves uncomfortable pursuing something like that. Where that point is the question.
And it's the sweet point.
Yeah. But seriously, I mean, do we really come across a man that is a narcissist and an alleged psychopath? And we say to ourselves, oh my God, I'm so excited. I just want to get in bed with him.
Well, obviously, most serial killers are psychopaths, and they are particularly charming enough to get you to go home with them so they can kill you.
Yes. Or, you know, just get in their trunk. To begin with, why don't you jump in my trunk?
Like, hey, hold on. Like.
Yes, let me just, you're right. I mean, but there are other explanations and other bloggers, for instance, that talked about it, mainly women, one of them, Amy Elkin, said that it's much easier to analyze the bad boy phenomenon, saying that it's really just about supply and demand. That bad boys make themselves scarce, and then, you know, law of scarcity kind of says that because there are not so many of them to find, we find them appealing. And because they don't make themselves that available, women want them.
Well, it's kind of like the whole conditioning idea that of intermittent, you know, intermittent reward systems. And that's what it is they give affection, but you never know when you're going to get it.
And like, you're always fetching for it.
Yeah, but like you don't get, it's like a slot machine, except it's like they're slut machines. Because they're like,
because you're the slut and he's the machine.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, you don't know when you're going to get like, am I going to get a text back? Yeah. Is he going to come over? Are we going to go out to dinner? I don't even know. It could be any time, but I have to keep going because now I got addicted to it.
Right. Oh, and I want to go into the addicted part.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to it. Yeah.
Do we want to announce our number?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. In case anybody would like to call in.
Any I know bad that boys listening.
Is there any bad boys?
Yes. Come here, we can spank you a little.
Yes.
Yes.
Our number is 1-800-893-9562. And you can call in tonight.
Yes, or anytime. And you can write us on drleemore.com and hit contact, leave us a message, and just, you know, we'll develop anything that you have to say. I just want to say that we were expecting a bad boy in the studio tonight. But I think he was stuck in the bathroom being filleted or something.
We're not sure. But it's odd.
There was a line of women in front of the bathroom that he came across. Mm.
Yeah.
We're guessing. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So
shockingly, the bad boy did not show up. And yes, in fact, we got a very nice boy.
To yes.
Very,
in.
Very telling, isn't it? You put your hearts into this bad boy and he broke it. And look who came through.
I know.
Because
the nice guy always comes through. But the thing is, I mean, a lot of studies show that the confusion comes because, and I want to talk about commonly expected first date behaviors when it comes to a nice guy versus a bad boy, or, you know, more kind of
an asshole,
yeah, an
or
asshole
something not
or something not necessarily
somewhere.
That good.
Somewhere in like the like. Here's a person that
on
you would actually
verge
like,
of, yeah.
And then everybody else.
Everybody else, yes. So yeah, so but a lot of women claim that. They want to date the nice guy, but their behavior shows that they don't really, because sure. Sometimes the nice guy is actually being confused for the loser guy because he's like too nice.
Yeah. And I think that's something that really, I think, and I know when I heard the phrase nice guy, it was, you know, especially growing up, I think what I heard in my head was unassertive guy, and I don't think
right.
The two are the same, and
no,
so
they're
that's
not.
Why I think that there's this stereotype that nice guys finish last. No, it's not
only
you're...
if they're good in bed.
You should all finish
you should
last.
All finish last.
Please, please wait for us. Yes.
I would have missed that one. That was good. That was good. You brought that to me. You know, I think that is a misconception, because, you know, I think a lot of nice guys will think, oh, it's, you know, it's not working for me because I'm too nice. You're probably just not assertive enough, or you're probably just not, you know, you can be assertive and you can, you know, be daring, but you can still be a gentleman and chivalrous, you know.
And I think actually this whole idea of nice guy too, there are some people there are some men in particular who consider themselves nice guys, but in fact they're really just assholes.
Pretending to be nice guys. But they're not.
But they're actually
kind of
not. And deep down inside, they feel entitled to female affection. And
right.
So, I whenever I hear the word nice guy, I always find it a little offensive to use with men that I think are actually good men. Because I think that there's a difference between a person that would describe themselves as a nice guy, but deep down inside, they're so fucked up about women and sexuality that they're
right.
not actually a nice guy. They're just they're just disguising that. I think that there's a difference between that and a good man. And a good man, I think, is actually something that, you know, I think actually, Brian, you're actually a good man.
Like, oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
That
thank
is sweet.
Yes.
And true from what I've heard.
Yeah.
But yeah, so a few studies kind of lined up the six most common expected first date behaviors, which kind of segregated between the nice guy and the more, you know, adventurous guy, mm-hmm. you would say. So the six things that they listed were ask the woman out, you know, not let her make the first step, ask her out. The second one was to decide on the plans, kind of decide what you guys are going to do. Mm-hmm. The third thing was to buy flowers for the woman. The fourth thing was to pick her up. Fifth thing was to pay the bill, pick up the check, of course. And the sixth thing was to make an affectionate move, such as kissing, touching, whatever, jumping on her vagina.
Throwing her into your car. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, yeah, stuff like that. So the thing is, what the studies showed that the nice guys were losing because they would carry four out of the six behaviors. Of course, that included asking her out, deciding on a plan, picking her up, and picking up the tab. But they would not buy the flowers or make any advances, mm-hmm. which put the fun guys in a much bigger leverage because they, first of all, they kind of lured her in with the flowers or whatever they brought her. I don't know, something that it was kind of, you know, flattering. And then they don't wait for a cue, but they just jump on it. They just take what they want. Yes, let me just take you. So, yeah, so the thing is, what do women want? I mean, do we want to be dominated this way immediately? Like, do we want them to take that step? Or we just claim that we want a nice guy that doesn't make the advances and doesn't, you know, necessarily bring us a flower, but he's being, you know, very kind and nice in any other manner, including picking us up, including making the plans, including asking us out. Where does the line go? I mean, what do women really want? I mean,
I don't think anybody has figured that out.
Certainly not me. Yes, I'm still trying.
Yes, I think Freud. Yeah, yes, I think people are still asking that.
Yeah, once somebody figures out exactly what women want, I think that we will be making a lot more money.
Right, so. Yeah, we're hoping. We're hoping to. But yeah. What do you think? Brian, I mean...
Brian, what's your experience? Let's hear
yeah,
this.
Yeah, because you're a man and you're a nice guy. You're a nice man. You're a good man. And then did you find that your nice, kind, you know, gentlemanly behavior came as something bad, you know, at times, or something that was a turnoff to a woman because she expected you to, I don't know...
Spank her ass?
Yeah, and be more direct in a manner, you know, that you would just... kind of, you know, demand something.
I would, well, first of all, I think I've kind of learned the type that I kind of go for, and I think that the type that I would go for, I think, would be very, would want the, at the very least, the display of affection at the end to kind of let them know that I'm interested and let them know that I want to see them again. And so I think women do want that. You know, women, I think women...
A certainty?
Yeah, a certainty. I think women want to leave a date kind of knowing that, you know...
There's a future to it.
Or that, oh, you know, wow, this guy's kind of into me. And in terms of which one of the measures you need to do and which ones are good and which ones are kind of a turnoff...
Right.
I don't know. But I do know that in my experience, if you leave a date and if you really are into the girl and if you don't at least make some kind of, you know, like
let's
touch
meet
or
again
some,
or
yeah or some kind of touch, some kind of kiss or some forward move to let them know, like, you know, that
you're into them.
Yeah.
I then think if it's lacking.
Mm-hmm, and I think if you don't have that, I think you're
doomed.
You're doomed, yeah.
Yeah.
So it is true. So women do expect to be
kissed
or, you know, touched in a way.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, go for the clit. Go for the clit immediately.
I just want to grab your boobs.
Yeah, I know. Just let me feel them out. I'm not asking for so much.
Like, no confusion.
Let me just,
I want to
we can do
get
it
you
over
bed.
Your shirt. Yeah, so, yeah.
Lay it on the line. Lay it on the line.
But seriously, so what Brian is saying is that it is necessary for the woman to feel... you know, wanted in a way, and she wants to be touched, but then women would claim that they want, you know, to have time, you know, to take their time and not be approached this way.
The reason women say that is because they're not into the person they went out with.
You think? No, but really? Like,
I think so. I mean, if the thing is, if you like the person that you're going out with,
Yeah.
And they were to hold your hand, or they were to give you a peck on the cheek, or kiss you, or, and you know, in some way try to be physically affectionate, you don't wince.
Okay.
You know, if it's somebody you want.
But it's necessary for first date?
First date to have some sort of like...
a connection?
Some sort of physical contact.
Yes?
I think so. I think if you don't, you know, I have to say also, like, when you were listening to those things off, I was like, yeah, I kind of bum rushed your poor brother. Like, he gave me a kiss on the cheek and I was all, bitch, please.
On the cheek, really?
I was like, I am offended.
Wait, was that on the first date?
Yes.
No, but you see, I mean, this is what I'm saying.
No. Well, it was not that. I was like, we had a good date. Like, we did. Like, we had a fun date. And honestly, like, I give a lot of kisses on my first date.
So you expected...
Unfortunately, at times more.
So yeah. I know. We all did. We all went through this. But so you expected more than just a kiss on the cheek.
Yes. And okay. The only reason is because we actually have been, like, arm in arm for like a good part, and so it's like
so
you had like a physical connection
already.
Yeah,
but your brother also almost knocked over his meal. So
well, you know,
he's got ways
given
of showing
the circumstances,
that you got his interest.
I'm just gonna drop everything off the table, and then you'll know. I'm just,
hold up.
Yes. No. So I do agree that women expect something. I don't know about a kiss or. I think it really depends on the specific experience. I know that I, you know, went on dates that I liked a guy and I didn't expect anything. On the same token, you know, it depends what you're like planning to get out of this date. I mean, if it was, I don't know, I had dates that weren't described as dates and, you know, just turn into this sexual talk.
Like, oh.
And like... Yeah, so something like that you expect to develop in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And then a different kind of casual, more calm kind of lunch date, you don't necessarily expect something like that. I mean, it depends on the time of the day, too, maybe.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, if you go to dinner, I guess. I don't know.
I think if you're being very loose with the term of physical contact, though, like if they don't give you a hug, if they don't kind of like make a gesture to like give you a kiss on the cheek, to me, I think that isn't important. I think having that physical contact removes the friend zone, you know,
okay, and the discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
It basically is like, no, this is you are somebody I am interested in. It makes it very clear, like you said, it's like you are somebody I'm interested in. I'm not putting you in the friend zone. There's no like question on my part or your part about what this is.
And I know there was a time when I was a little less experienced with dating when, that moment towards the end of the date would come and I'd think, oh my gosh, what should I do?
Really, you would stress about it?
And I'd really stress about it and I would think like, oh, you know, you don't want to scare her off. You don't want to be too forward. But then at some point I realized I'm like, this is not a... You know, this is not a friend you're seeing. This is someone who you specifically sought out with the interest of, like, I want to see if this goes somewhere. So
I am romantically interested.
Yeah. So why would you just leave it with
a friend
handshake or something?
Yeah, a handshake. Like, oh my
it's
god!
Like, it's like
high five.
It's like you know, it's and I think you really should, as a guy, you really should get to a point where you know say like, okay, you know, even if it's a first date, if I have a first date and if I'm really feeling that connection, I need to make some kind of demonstration. It doesn't need to be, you know, you don't need to, you know, dip her and kiss her and do something really grandiose, but just...
That's awkward.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that's weird.
But I mean, you know, like, just as a way of saying, like, it's, you need to do something. You need to separate yourself. Yeah, you need to remove yourself from the friend zone. So that she leaves knowing...
that this is going in a certain direction.
Yeah.
Right, because I mean, that's also just the sign of assertiveness and a strong lead, which is what you look for when you do it, when you find a dance partner.
Right, but that's what women said, that sometimes the too nice guy turns into the loser guy because he doesn't make these advances. Well, and then I'm left, you know, what the fuck is going on? I mean, he doesn't want to touch me?
Yeah, it's just about really what it is at the end of the day. It's like clear communication. Mm-hmm. Like, this is everything that they put on there. It's like clear communication. You ask the person out.
Yeah.
You... find a location
also
for the
charge.
Date.
Taking charge was a big part of it.
Yes. Clear communication and taking the lead. That's the same thing that you look for in a dance partner. It's the same thing that you're looking for in a life partner,
all
too.
All women?
That they're looking for someone to take the lead, at least initially. Mm-hmm. I think traditionally
except for Amanda Knox.
Yeah. I think initially, though, traditionally we do see.
Maybe she did.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Yeah. I agree with that. And then, you know, real quick, I got my master's this last June, and so I was surrounded by a lot of, you know, well-educated women, you know, right. women mm-hmm. who independent women who I thought, you know, when it came to how dating went in the beginning, they wanted it to be a little more egalitarian. But you know, someone told me, you know, they said it doesn't matter how. You know, how educated, how successful, how whatever a woman
advanced
becomes.
Advanced she is. She still wants to be treated in gender role.
Right. You know, to some extent, she still wants the guy to, you know, take charge and to offer to pay for the bill. To pick
her up, to make the plans.
Things like that.
I really agree with everything they said. It just, in terms of the feminist view of things, because of, you know, this socially, we're expected to be these Amazons that really kind of take charge of everything, including in bed. Wow. And then, you know, there's this list that tells, oh, he's like making decisions about everything. I mean, he's picking you up, he's making the plans, he's doing this and that, and including the advances at the end.
Well, in all fairness.
Yes.
None of that actually happens, like, all the time. I think that that's...
No, not all the time. But isn't they listed it as something that women claimed that these are behaviors that they kind of expected on a first date.
I think that women do expect it on a first date. I don't think that it's necessarily like you're saying about the feminist point of view. I think that there's, you know, the egalitarian part that comes into play.
Right.
Like you were talking about. I think that does come into play when it comes to a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so later on.
Yeah.
In terms of courting. In the game, right.
When it comes to, are you worth my time?
When you just begin, you expect different things.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
I'm saying if I think, you know, let's say I were to go out with, you know, let's say I were to go, if I were to ask Brett out, I would expect to be doing that, a lot of the stuff. Mm-hmm. But if he asked me out, I expect him to put it together. Do you know what I mean?
And would you ask him out? I mean, that was to begin with one of the prerequisites.
I mean, I may have been like, so...
Right.
After our first phone conversation, I was like, you know what? I'd like to meet you. Where was you? He's like,
but it's not common. It's not that common, right?
He's so cute. He's like, yeah.
Women still expect to be asked out.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, yeah.
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 It's true.
And when a man is maybe too nice and says, you know, I want to give her time, maybe, you know, it could put him in a friend zone, as we said.
I think the passiveness is what we're talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Women want men to take charge.
We want people who are assertive, I think.
Right.
Which isn't the same as taking charge, because I think that there's aggressiveness and assertiveness.
The women do like
states,
to some extent as well.
I think some, I mean, I think that's the allure of the bad boy.
Yeah.
That I think we confuse, I think in general, we confuse assertiveness and, you know, with aggressiveness.
Right.
And that's why so many women have a difficult time communicating assertively, and why they do the passive aggressive type of communication with each other, and why they do a lot of the passive passive communication in general.
Indirect aggression.
Yes, exactly.
Women are great at indirect aggression.
They're like, you're going to wear that? I'm like, why don't you just say my shirt's ugly?
I'm not going out with you dressed in that. Yeah. There was a book called The Manual, A True Bad Boy Explains How Men Think, Date, and Mate. And I found it very interesting, yes. And he, the author, Steve Stendegutti, actually puts two parts of the behavior, one next to the other, and claims that the allure is actually the allure of the bad boy is very different from the player. That there are two certain different behaviors. One is the real bad boy, the loner, the wolf, you know, walking around the woods, you know, all looking for little
wolf.
Red riding wood. But there's the player all on the other side, the bad guy, the guy that is not worth your time, the guy that is just going to make you feel bad. It's not what he claims is it's not the same as the bad boy. And he puts a few things that I kind of tended to agree with that separate the two. One of them was that the player is a misogynist, that someone that hates women and just, kind of conquests and tries to get numbers up and stuff. And the bad boy is actually someone that loves women and adores women and, you know, finds them fascinating. And actually, you know, is absolutely in love with the whole idea of the feminist, you know, power and stuff, and is actually, you know, kind of attracted to it, which is why he's the way he is. Another thing he said was that that the player brags about his conquests, and that the bad boy keeps everything very confidential. Nobody knows about what he's doing. He's keeping everything secretive. He's not, you know.
Well, he's a loner. He's a loner.
Yeah, no, but I agree with it that it kind of makes sense that he's not really talking about it. He just, you know, he takes women to bed, a lot of women, but he doesn't talk about it. And another thing was that the player has a very shallow understanding of women. He doesn't know women. He doesn't really care about women. All he cares about is the conquest, and he cares about upping his numbers, his ego. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, women are like hoping for his untimely death. While, you know, with a bad boy, they actually like the guy and stay friends with him after, you know, even if it doesn't really work out, which is kind of predictable because he's a bad boy and he's a loner and blah, blah, blah. But they would still go to bed with him because he knows the job and, you know, knows what he needs to do and it's fun and
See, kind of like the George Clooney. Is that what we're talking about?
So the George Clooney is what? The bad boy?
Yeah.
I find it hard to talk about George Clooney in that manner at all.
I'm just saying, just the way that our society perceives him.
Well,
I'm trying to get my head around this idea.
I would say it's like the bad boy would be like a James Dean kind of thing. You know, riding a bike, being kind of, you know, kind of a loner,
a rebel,
yeah,
without
a cause, with a cause, with tattoos, without them, stuff like that. And then the player would be
players. We all like players.
We know them,
just, yeah.
Right? So, how do you feel about that? Does that make sense?
I'm still having a hard time. I mean, it may just be my sad, lonely little brain trying to get my head around this idea
of a
bad boy and like not being a player. And the only reason I'm having a hard time with that is because probably my paradigm of which I'm looking through this idea of a bad boy. And I think maybe if I were to have it developed for me a little bit more, I would probably might be able to agree with what they're saying. But I think maybe.
Do you think, Brian?
Well, I would say I like the two, the kind of dichotomy that that the author posed. And I think that I definitely agree with that. For me, if I could explain the difference to someone between a player and a bad boy is a player, there's deception involved.
Yes.
And I think the player may present himself as being a real Romeo, a real sweeper off, you know, I'm gonna sweep you off your feet, real. He may portray himself as a romantic, but in the end, he's just a dog, a dirty, dirty dog.
No, but seriously, I agree.
Whereas the bad boy, I don't think there's a deception. I think he lays it on the line and I think he's like, hey.
You kind of know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
okay.
You know what you're getting.
But that's all the same thing as a clear communication. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not lying, you're not manipulating, you're being very clear. You're like, hey, this isn't going anywhere, we can have as much fun as you want. Like, mm-hmm. But this, you know, I'm a free spirit. That's what you like about me.
Yeah. Well, I tend to agree with what he said, and I do find, not necessarily, you know, that it's such a clear cut, but and mostly, you know, it can be confusing. And I think this is why a lot of women kind of, you know, are uncomfortable with the whole idea of the bad boy, because, you know, it is deception and you kind of fall into the trap of the player. And then, you know, it involves certain traits that maybe are similar to the bad boy, because both of them, you know, will not return your call. Both of them will keep you on edge, stuff like that. But then the guy, the player, is actually a piece of shit, an asshole,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That will just make
dirty,
you feel bad.
Filthy.
Yes, and seriously, there's a book by a man called Tucker Max, and this is, you know, the mm-hmm. the book. Okay,
is it the game?
So, well,
no, that's no. Neil Strauss.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Tucker Max wrote a book called Assholes Finish First, and indeed, I mean. It's a book about himself.
It's a terrible book.
It's a disgusting,
it's a
despicable
book about.
It's a despicable book. Mm-hmm. Despicable in any way possible. I don't know how did anybody release such a.
By the way, I think you guys are hilarious. You guys, it's awful. It's despicable.
It's
terrible.
But seriously, the reason I find it. Look, I would never
all
go.
All I want to do is read it.
honestly, I would never go.
Yeah.
On a personal level, I find men like Tucker Max disgusting. But I understand, you know, how he gets so many women in bed with him. And also, you know, the chapters in the book are like, I have to, he has, if I find it, he has a line of women that he would like to-do list, he calls it.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing because I don't want to give it the stage for anything. But among others, there's the hot female midget, amputee, without knowing her name, mother and daughter.
Gross. At the same time?
Yeah, of course. Okay. We're talking
well,
all
I don't
in the
know.
Same.
I yes, mean, it could be like at different times, but they don't know, kind of like that.
Yeah, and the amputee, especially friend's mom, mom's friend, escort without paying.
That's like a dine and ditch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miss America contestant, giant, 6'6". Porn star, well, deaf girl with a glass eye.
Just kidding.
Anything is possible. Yeah. Midget threesome. And then he lines up like nationalities that he likes. There's no Israeli there, so I'm good. But there's a bunch of stuff. It's despicable. There's no other way to talk about it.
It's like exoticism. It's any type of anything that men or anybody does where they kind of create a stereotype of what they think a type of person would be like, and they put them into a category rather than seeing them for who they actually are.
Well, that's it, of course. But to make the difference between the bad boy and the player. And this Tucker Max in the book, I mean, it's really just the epitome of the player, of the guy that is so hateful
filthy.
Of women.
Disgusting.
No, but really, like, he has, I don't know how to put it. I mean, it's not even lack of respect. It's just so hateful towards females.
Wonder what his mom did to him.
Oh, yeah. My God. You know, you didn't nurse him right. I mean, I don't know what you did.
There are all sorts of things fucked up with
my
that
God.
Relationship.
Yes, really, really bad. But then, you know, and then the other book that I mentioned before, that manual, is actually depicting the bad boy who has this alluring, you know, seductive spirit about him, that he's the lone wolf, that he's the writer, that he's this and that.
He's artistic, he's creative, he's aloof, he's
right.
passionate about something that has nothing to do with another partner.
Or that has anything to do with hating women.
Right.
Or trying to hurt mm-hmm. women in a way.
Yeah.
Which is, in you know, depicted very, very commonly in the other book. That is actually the theme of the book. You know, mm-hmm. what I want to do to women, how I like to, you know, treat women badly. That's yeah.
what
it all lists.
That's what Assholes Finish First is about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Oh.
And by Tucker Max. Well. Thank you for putting it out there for us to read. Yeah, and so the manual that I referred to before actually has like a questionnaire. If you are a woman that likes bad boys, here's a questionnaire. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but there are a few things that were kind of cute and said, I don't know, like, how do you know that you like bad boys? So a few questions were, what do you think looks best? An unshaven face, a clean-shaved face, a beard, a goatee?
I want to hear more.
You
what
know,
do the
like,
answers mean?
Well, it means, the calculation, of course, means if you like a bad boy or not.
I'd like
stuff
to take
like,
this quiz.
Yeah, and it's, I'll give it to you later. Yeah, definitely. Other things were like, is he a good kisser? He's always on time. He puts the toilet seat down or he gets a great haircut.
Wow.
You know,
that
stuff like that.
That is going to piss. Like, seriously?
I know.
By the way,
I
swear to God, if your brother leaves the toilet seat up in my apartment one more time.
Really, he does.
I know, you're gonna,
he does. It's disgusting.
Gonna...
I'm probably going to kick his ass. I
thought like, our mom raised us better, you know?
Yeah, I really thought she did.
Yeah.
Jenny?
You see, but I'm sure she did a better job than Tucker Max's mom.
Well, Tucker Max's mom
for
like,
sure.
probably did some all sorts
yeah.
of crazy
oh
shit.
Oh, my God,
she
yes. She took that nipple out,
yeah.
you know, and that hurt the boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Or she was fucking all sorts of men and making him, not watch it, but like having
she
all
she was
these...
doing something to make him lose his respect for women.
Yes,
but
exactly.
to the extent that he's really like so disgusting that
yeah.
really it is despicable.
Sorry.
And...
Not to talk about your mom too much, but...
But really, I can't even believe that he was put out there. And, you know, the whole idea of the bad boy is being analyzed by many women because women find it, on one hand, addictive almost to the level of that I'm constantly being hurt by that, you know, aloof behavior maybe to an extent of, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Am I going to have a date on Friday night or not?
I don't even know.
You know, I don't even know. Stuff like that. But then as soon as he shows up in his motorcycle and his tattoos, I'm like running, you know, my vagina is like speaking.
Yeah.
So it's a problem. You know, we don't know what to do about it. And Christina Grish wrote a book about herself. And she actually spoke about being, and I like that, being a bad boy addict. And she spells it A-D-D-I-C-K-T.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're addicted to what is dick.
Yes. Yes. To his bad boy dick. So, yeah. So, but she said that the main things that she found common to women that are kind of addicted to the bad boy is that one of the main things, and we've discussed it in, on other shows, that there's this feeling that the bad boy is just looking for the right woman to tame him.
Oh, yeah.
So because he's dying to be that nice guy. I mean, you want a wolf, but you want to turn him into a dog. So
well, I don't know about a dog.
You know, some sort of a little, you know, chihuahua. Yeah.
Anyway, little purse dog.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think? Does that make sense that most women are so in love with the idea of the bad boy? But because they think, oh, it's going to boost my ego if I turn that bad boy into what I want.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead. I'll let you go first.
Well, I do remember listening to that show where you two talked about this belief some women have of wanting to, you know, thinking like, oh, but I'm going to change him.
For
He's going to turn good
yeah.
for me.
And I think I may have mentioned some awful things also.
I'm sure you have.
I'm sure I have.
Yeah. I don't know why y'all do that.
I don't. I really don't. You know, maybe you'll have a good fixer-upper. I don't know, but...
get a house.
But, yeah, you know what? I think that's probably what makes women who, you know, when that experience is done, they're heard and they go back to it again. I think that probably has a lot to do with it, is that they think, like, you know, maybe they think they see these real, you know, sensitive, kind, good qualities to him, and maybe they see that and they think, oh well, you know, this is all just a hard exterior that no
that
other
I
woman has been able to crack or
right.
peel, and you know, so.
But I can be that.
But if I do that, no. But if I do that, that's a big boost to my ego.
Yeah.
That I was able to tame, and you see that, you know, even in the media, mm-hmm. when women marry, I don't know, a rock star or some other form of a bad boy, mm-hmm. which we may refer to. They're always hopeful that they, you know, all of a sudden there's no infidelity involved, or, you know, the guy is going to turn into a dog, as I said, from a wolf to a dog. And it's a misconception because, mm-hmm. you know, that usually, I don't know, I don't want to say, you know, in general, but usually it doesn't happen.
No.
And the allure of making it happen is basically what she claims, this author claims, that this is the main attraction. This is why women keep going back to the battlefield.
Yeah. And
attracting.
I think part of it also underneath that desire, like this, it's like you're trying to do something that's impossible.
Right.
You're setting yourself up for failure because you don't think that you deserve to succeed. And so I think also underneath that layer is this belief that you just don't deserve better.
That you don't deserve a nice guy?
That you don't deserve somebody who's going to
treat
you well.
Treat you nice.
Yeah. And yeah. I think underneath this desire, like, I think there's like three layers of this thing. There's yeah. like the part like, oh, a bad boy is so exciting. Then there's the part of like, I can change him. And then yeah. there's the part underneath that's like, I don't deserve any better than this, so I better try to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think these elements come out. And until you believe you deserve better, I don't think you're going to really like... You're not going to really attract a good man, nor will you find a good man attractive, because
yeah.
you're like, I just deserve to be treated like crap. I don't deserve to have my phone calls returned. I don't deserve to have.
So it's all about
up.
Your self-esteem.
I think
in a manner.
I think deep down, I think that's part
if
of it.
If you
too.
Respect yourself, you're not going to attract a bad boy.
I don't think that's necessarily true, but I don't think you're not going to necessarily attract him. But I think that after a while, you'll be like, this is bullshit. Like, I don't
you're
need to deal
react
with this.
To him.
Yeah, you're going to be like, okay. I don't need to deal. Fuck you. You don't return my phone calls. Fuck you. Like, I'm going to find somebody else.
I'm going to find somebody. Let me turn
my phone off. Exactly.
I know.
I deserve better.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And there were a few studies that actually kind of made me laugh because one in particular said that when we mentioned the nice girl versus the bad girl.
Bad
girl. Yeah, you know, girls just want to have fun kind of thing. So they actually put the bad girl versus the nice girl in two boxes, and then the nice tough the nice guy versus the tough guy in two other boxes. And you know what they depicted in the I have to like read you a few of these, and like my vagina hurts just you know.
Apparently, my vagina hurts people as
just
well.
Just looking at Oh, we're gonna talk about yours. Yeah, you need to sharpen, unsharpen these teeth.
I think they're ninja stars or something. I'm not sure.
I know.
There was some kicking going on.
I know. So in the lineup of the good girl, I want to. So a few things were virgin at marriage, you know, financially dependent on husband.
Gross.
Non-sexual, low sex interest. I want to vomit. Let's move on. And then the bad girl had financially independent, educated, sexually free, enjoys sex, may have sex with men, women, and both.
Oh my God.
I'll take that. Okay. Then they start doing like a lineup of the tough guy versus the nice guy. And within the tough guy was, I love that. Both of them were just fascinating. The tough guy was needs wife to have his name, display dominance. Only emotion shown is anger.
Okay.
Woman, come here, woman. Yeah. Yes. Dominates may be abusive to female partner or children.
Jesus Christ.
Listen to this. Drives the car and controls the TV remote. Yeah. And then the nice guy, the sweet guy, this was like hilarious to me. He reads, studies, and thinks. I mean, that's terrible. I don't know who wants to be that. Yeah, he's sensitive, emotional, tends to cry. Maybe an artist, musician, or a dancer. Then he hugs his friends, both male and female. And the best thing about the nice guy is that he eats quiche.
This is really specific.
I know. I found it just... What do you think?
I'm like shocked by the quiche. Like,
I know. The
I'm surprised
quiche is
they didn't
actually
say souffle.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm because if you eat quiche, then I don't know if I want to know you.
Well, it's like, I mean, I love quiche. And like,
I know, but if your guy eats quiche, then...
My guy does eat quiche.
Well, you have a nice guy then.
In fact, I do.
You do.
He's
you
a good
do,
man.
In fact. Yes. Yes. And we're almost close to the end of our show. I want you to give the number again if you want.
It is 1-800-893-9562. And if you'd like, you can also download this episode and all of our past ones on iTunes looking up Sex and Dippity. Apparently, if you just write S-E-X and an E, it's the first thing that comes up.
My God, you checked.
Wow. Well, actually, you know what?
You went and checked.
Actually, Brett checked for me.
My God, you see? Yes. You have a nice guy.
He's a good man.
Yeah.
I will say good man.
Yeah.
Good man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just to kind of sum up everything, I want to say that, and we kind of mentioned it, that the fact that you have self-esteem and you're confident, does that mean that you're not going to attract the bad guy, the bad boy, or how you're going to handle it is the main thing. And there was one last thing that I wanted to mention by Phil Bolsta. He's a blogger and covers all aspects of relationships. And he said he listed 14 reasons why attractive women end up with bad guys. I'm not going to go through all 14.
I have ideas, but yes. We can talk about that at another time.
Yeah, but say please. What did you want to say?
Oh, I was going to say the reason that I had a good experience last night about why I was like, this is why I did online dating.
Okay.
Because the type of men that will come up to me are cocky motherfuckers.
Okay.
And
the bad guy.
Yeah. Well, or some version
Formal.
Of this piece of shit.
Yeah.
And they are cocky. They don't care if you come with a date. They don't like they have to have like
overconfident.
Overconfident.
Yes.
And they are rude. Yeah. And they're loud and they're obnoxious.
It's and very so true.
That, very true. Like, but then again, a nice, kind, good man will not necessarily walk up to an attractive woman for whatever reason of his own.
That is very true. And this is one, you know, kind of covers a few of the reasons that he mentioned. Among others, he said that the more attractive the woman is, it's more likely that she'll attract that kind of man.
Mm-hmm.
Because that kind of man is someone that is involved in conquest,
mm-hmm.
and is trying to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
And actually in getting to this woman, whether she came with a date or whether she seems, you know, uninterested or whatever, he's going to go for it even harder,
mm-hmm.
just to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's true? I mean, the more attractive the woman is, the more likely she is to be hit on by a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I mean, should you see it?
I think what I see is the more traditionally hot-looking woman, the more kind of stereotypical, the more, you know, makeup done, the real, you know, clubby kind of dress. I think that those...
So the slutty look.
Hey, slutty. Hey, we don't like that word around here, right?
The way I dress, basically.
It's adorable. No, but it's attractive.
But
Yeah.
I do think that a certain type of attractive woman is going to draw, you know, douchey guys.
So bros, not all attractive boys, women, yeah. but just something that is like a stereotype.
I think if they're displaying their sexuality in some way.
Okay, which is almost everybody today.
Right, if they're comfortable wearing form-fitting clothes, low-cut dresses, basically the way I dress, like high heels,
basically the way
skirts.
A feminine woman would
right,
dress.
Exactly.
Okay.
Here's the other key point: if you also have the type of body to make that work, because I think that if you dress like that and you're not that attractive,
you're not going to get hit.
You're
on?
Not going to get the same type of response that you're. But you also pointed it out. That it has to do with the attractiveness level of the woman as
well. So the more attractive you are, the more likely you are
to be... If you're attractive and you feel comfortable and confident enough to wear clothing that accentuates your body and shows your attractiveness...
You're going to hit on by assholes.
Yes.
Well, on that note...
That's true. On that note, Ryan is available. He's a 27-year-old man.
Employed.
Employed
is a very important part.
Plays the guitar. Yes. Plays the guitar. Good with
Send
his hands.
Send us your request. Yes, we're here for you.
Yes.
Well, this was fascinating. We have so much to say about this more. And we really invite you to contact us and tell
Come
us
play
what
with
you
us.
Think. Come play with us, always. You know, iTunes, for instance, is a good start for you. Mm. Be a bad boy and come play with us.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it, guys. Thank you so much for coming,
Thank
Brian.
You for
it was a
me.
Pleasure.
It
we'll have you again.
Pleasure was all
Definitely.
Mine, ladies. Pleasure
Definitely.
Was all mine.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman.
And I'm Luann Hernandez.
Bye.
Bye-bye.